Let's turn in the Word to 1 Corinthians 9. We'll be reading verses 1 through 27, the whole chapter. First Corinthians 9, and beginning in verse 1, these are God's words. Am I not an apostle? Am I not free? Have I not seen Jesus Christ our Lord? Are not ye my work in the Lord? If I be not an apostle unto others, yet doubtless I am to you. For the seal of mine apostleship are ye in the Lord. Mine answer to them that do examine me is this. Have we not power to eat and drink? Have we not power to lead about a sister, a wife, as well as other apostles, and as the brethren of the Lord and Cephas, or I only, and Barnabas, have not we power to forbear working? Who goeth to warfare any time at his own charges, who planteth the vineyard and eateth not of the fruit thereof? Or who feedeth the flock and eateth not of the milk of the flock? Say I these things as a man, or saith not the law the same also? For it is written in the law of Moses, Thou shalt not muzzle the mouth of the ox that treadeth out the corn. Doth God take care for oxen? Or saith he it altogether for our sakes? For our sakes, no doubt, this is written, that he that ploweth should plow in hope, and that he that thresheth in hope should be partaker of his hope. If we have sown unto you spiritual things, is it a great thing if we shall reap your carnal things? If others be partakers of this power over you, are not we rather? And nevertheless, we have not used this power, but suffer all things, lest we should hinder the gospel of Christ. Do ye not know that they which minister about holy things live of the things of the temple? And they which wait at the altar are partakers with the altar. Even so hath the Lord ordained that they which preach the gospel should live of the gospel. But I have used none of these things. Neither have I written these things that I should be so done, that it should be so done unto me. For it were better for me to die than that any man should make my glorying void. For though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of, for necessity is laid upon me. Yea, woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. For if I do this thing willingly, I have a reward. But if against my will, a dispensation of the gospel is committed unto me. What is my reward then? Verily, that when I preach the gospel, I may make the gospel of Christ without charge, that I abuse not my power in the gospel. For though I be free from all men, yet have I made myself servant unto all, that I might gain the more. And unto the Jews I became as a Jew, that I might gain the Jews. To them that are under the law as under the law, that I might gain them that are under the law. To them that are without law as without law, being not without law to God, but under the law to Christ, that I might gain them that are without law. For the weak became I as weak, that I might gain the weak. I am made all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. And this I do for the gospel's sake, that I might be a partaker thereof with you. Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run, that ye may obtain. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. And those are God's words. In Paul's letter so far, as we've been going through this letter, we've already heard how the church in Corinth questioned Paul's apostleship. And he's addressing that very clearly in this chapter, how they're fighting with him, in a sense, about his apostleship. Because, you know, he came later, right? A little bit later. And you see at least a minimal part of what it meant to be an apostle in verse 1. Seeing Jesus Christ. And particularly, seeing the risen Christ. And then he defends the minister's right in, through verse 9. He defends the minister's right to be supported by those whom he ministers to, which we have studied previously in our, when we studied giving, right? And we brought up the verse about the ox threshing, right? Don't muzzle the ox when he's threshing. Don't hold him back. And we've explained how if you're not giving to the Lord, and that much of that giving is going to the ministers, just like they gave it, the tenth of the sacrifices went to the priests in the Old Testament. If you're not giving and to support the minister, then he's having to work himself and then preach the gospel too, and so you're holding him back in that sense. And so he's saying here, don't stop or slow down the ox when he's working. The same with the minister who ministers to you. And that through verse 14. And then through verse 18, Paul says, he willingly gave up that privilege. Right? It is his privilege. It is, we can even use, it is his right to receive from the church there that they acknowledge him and uphold him and pray for him as an apostle. And yet, he's saying here, he's given up the privilege and the right for that benefit, for the church's benefit. He had a right to it, but he gave it up for their sake, so that it wouldn't be a stumbling block for them in turning and believing the gospel and continuing to believe. And then through verse 23, he gives several other things that he had denied himself as well for the sake of their souls and the souls of others. And all this to not cause a stumbling block to those that, who would come into the church, that they would not be a stumbling block in believing the gospel of Jesus Christ. And then Paul concludes his argument about his apostleship by showing why he gave up those rights, those privileges, and other good things, all to obtain the incorruptible crown of glory. Is that how you're living your life? Right here, here he's focused so much. His focus is on one thing, the Great Commission. He's focused on one thing, the gospel going forward. And if something stands in the way of the gospel going forward, if he says, he's saying here, if it's a stumbling block to you from believing the gospel, then I'm going to do all I can to remove it, not to change God's word, not to corrupt or compromise, but he's going to give up his own privileges and his rights so that you and other people will believe. And it wouldn't be a stumbling block. And that because he has hope in the incorruptible crown of glory. And so, is that how you're living your life? Focused on the gospel. So much you're willing to sacrifice the rights, the privileges you have, right? Think of your marriages. Oftentimes in marriage, there are times, especially young couples, older couples too, and you get hurt. And so you think, how you can just withhold something from your loved one, or you can treat them however you want. You have a right after, right? You have a right that they treat you lovingly. And then, but think of the gospel, right? Think of the gospel, how you must humble yourself and treat them as you vowed, as we heard this morning. You continue to keep your vow no matter what your spouse does. Why? For the sake of the gospel. To show forth Christ and the church. So, not claiming your rights all the time, your privileges all the time, but sacrificing at particular times for the sake of Christ and the gospel, and for the incorruptible crown laid up for you in glory. So how do you live your life? It's a good question to ask ourselves. And thinking of those rights and privileges we have given by God, we don't have to have them. And some of those things, And we can give them up for the sake of the gospel at times. Let's pray. Our Father, we're thankful for how you have given us your word. We're thankful for the ministry of the apostles who have gone before us, how you use them and showing their sacrificial nature to bring the word to bear upon the early church, of which we are the spiritual descendants of that work that you did in them, not only of the apostles but the prophets too. We're thankful for the perfect word of the living and true God, your word, Father, the living word. All other words are dead compared to your word, because your word gives life. All other words, the men's book, all the books we have over here in the library, the church's library, they don't give life. But your word does. And we're thankful for this. And as we consider this, even today, and the ministry of the apostles and prophets, and how we have been the recipients of such great things in receiving your word, our Father, we again grieve and we mourn over what Jake and Marissa are doing and running away, turning from you, turning from Christ, turning from the bride of Christ to that which is the synagogue of Satan, as our confession says, and as the scriptures say, and turning to that which is false and turns the gospel upside down. And we weep for them. We pray that you would turn their hearts, that the censure upon them, that they would receive it, and that they would be reclaimed. That's our prayer, that they would be reclaimed and they would turn back to you in Christ your Son. Father, as we, especially older Christians, can look back in time, we can see the most spiritual, seemingly spiritual, holy men, women, who have made shipwreck of your faith, even ministers of the gospel, godly wives, seemed like, and godly husbands, make shipwreck of their faith, turning from you, enjoying the ways of the world, going after their own pleasures, breaking your law, and continuing in it to the point of killing themselves. Father, and their souls, and some even, not just their souls, but their bodies too, committing suicide. Father, that's exactly what we become when we turn from you. We become the atheist who is the fool, which has no ground, has no foundation, but is shifting sand. And we are turned by the waves to and fro, being carried along in whatever direction, with no hope and no comfort. And so, Father, we pray that that would not be true of any of us. So we pray that you would turn back Jake and Marissa, that it would not be true of them, that they would again, or for the first time, stand upon the firm foundation of Jesus Christ the Rock. And so that you would cause us to stand upon Him alone, by which we can stand firm, as we heard this morning in Ephesians 6. Cause us to stand firmly upon Christ and to look to Him. But Father, we pray for their souls, that you would reclaim them and you would send your Spirit to do that rebuking and convicting work of the Word and of those who go to visit them, to talk to them, even the elders here, that the Word would go forth and that would not fall on deaf ears or be rejected, but it would be received by them. And then, Father, we do pray as well that you would have our focus and sanctify us in this. Have our focus, our primary concern, be on the spreading of the gospel and living it out in our own lives. That you would make us holy as Christ is holy and righteous as He is, perfectly righteous. We pray for Sheila and her work situation. We pray that you would give her confidence in your word. As well, Father, give her the words to speak to her boss that she might convince him of the necessity of her worshiping you on the Lord's Day and not working. And we know that is her desire. We know that is your desire. And so bring success in this, if it be your will. And if not, we pray that you would provide work for her in some other place. And that is perhaps even better than her situation of her work right now. And perhaps even more pay that she might help not only support herself, but we also pray that it would lead to the greater giving to the church and for the gospel to go forward, because that's why we're here. That's what we just learned, that we're seeking the incorruptible crown of glory and also seeking your glory above all things. And Father, then we do ask and plead that you would be with Dina as well. Thankful for the better sleep she's had, but she needs more sleep. She already needs more sleep in normal life because of the long-term ailment she has. But now in being sick, she has not been able to sleep very well at all. But thankful for the last couple nights where she's been able to sleep a little bit better. Pray that you would continue to grow and increase that sleep time if it be your will. We also pray for Jeannie that you would heal her of her sickness and cold and grant her good health, that she would return to be with us next Lord's Day as well, as we prayed this morning. Pray for our presbytery and the congregations now in need of ministers. We've been praying for Pastor Drost and from the Washington congregation in Iowa. Know that he's resigned now because of his sickness, and thankful that he does have work. But Father, we ask that you would provide now a minister for that congregation and grow healing to Pastor Drost, that he might be able to minister again. We do trust in your plan and ask that you would be with him and his family. And comfort them in the time of trial that they're probably going through, I could imagine. And then, Father, we pray for the other churches we've often prayed for recently in Colorado Springs and San Antonio and Houston, that you would provide ministers there as well, that your name would be proclaimed faithfully and consistently from your word. And those men that we pray that you would send, we know you desire, and so we desire that they would be bold and zealous, and faithful, godly men who don't round the corners and yet are filled with grace, and that your name and the gospel would be proclaimed and many would hear and believe unto salvation. And pray for the nation. You would send your spirit into the churches and then unto the nations, that the gospel being proclaimed would be heard and many would believe. Even our civil rulers, our governors, congressmen, etc., judges, and all of them would hear and believe unto salvation, and they would turn and rule according to Christ. They would covenant with Him even, and cause this nation to covenant with Christ, commit to Him. That Christ would be king and head, not the people, not we the people, but Christ would be king of this nation. And the people of this nation would turn back to you from their many, many horrendous, gross, grotesque sins that we even ourselves take part in at times because we are frail. Lord, forgive us and make us to be a holy people and forgive us our sins. Our Father, we pray, even as we'll hear this evening, that the nations would come unto you. And we pray that in hope and in faith, because you've promised it. Though it doesn't look like it will happen in these days, Father, we know it will. And so we have hope in it. And so we pray for it. And we pray these things in Jesus' name for your glory. Amen.